aggressive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Herb Katz, and welcome to Dial-A-Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial-A-Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this? All right.
Hello, Cleveland.
Thank you for tuning in once again to the third inaugural installment. Oh, you can't have more than one. The third installment.
Yeah, somebody had more than one.
The third installment of Dial-A-Dork. This is your show, dorks, geeks, nerds of Cleveland, and anybody else who's listening. This is your show to call in, talk about your computer problem, your geek-related issue, or whatever. You can also email us at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dorks@dial-a-dork.com. And hi, everybody. Russ, Matt, how you doing?
Yep, real good.
We are expecting Senor Crapple, Doug Cassidy, to show up shortly and join us in studio. We were going to have Dan the Master Googler calling in, but apparently whatever it was he ate in Honduras is still giving him trouble.
He's the Master Flusher at this point.
Yes. Not the Master. Something's very seriously wrong. Something is rotten in Denmark. Or Honduras, rather. Anyway, we won't be having him again, but hopefully he'll join us in week number 4 if they've managed to push his intestines back into him, because apparently he's like this close to going to the emergency room, so probably should have gone last week. Just want to say real quick that tonight's show is sponsored in the name of Merrick House once again. Merrick House, located in historic Tremont, is a home that opened its doors and welcomed all people. They continue to provide the support, encouragement, and guidance people need to function more independently through life. They're a great cause, and you can call 771-5077 for more information. I'm sure to figure out how to make a donation. And we'd also like to thank VisionNet, our preferred ISP. They provide network consulting, web dev, web hosting, internet connectivity, and VoIP services. For all your technological needs, contact VisionNet at 1-800-645-9351 or sales@visionnet, that's VISN.net. And they're local. You don't need to send your money out of Cleveland. You can call VisionNet. I got to thank Phil's Delicious once again. He brought us, as promised, the roasted sweet potato cheesecake.
And it was fantastic.
It is delicious. And he would like you to know, Phil would like you to know that you can have fresh baked cookies and desserts delivered to your office or organization in the Cleveland area by calling 216-269-3409. And Phil's Delicious dishes will bring you a tray of wonderful treats that will be enjoyed by all. These cookies are handmade from the finest ingredients and come in 8 mouth-watering varieties. Other desserts like the sweet potato cheesecake are available. Everybody loves cookies. Call 216-269-3409. I think that just about does it for announcements and other various things of that nature. So why don't we jump right into the show, and I wanted to follow up on, so I wanted to do this last week. I didn't get a chance. The first week, we had an email from Don, and Don wanted to share a Outlook PST file across a network share, but he was having trouble. Right. And we talked about making sure.
We talked about file permissions and network share permissions.
Yeah, well, we talked about the mark as private, make sure it's not marked as private. Mm-hmm. Your documents and settings folder for your profile. But one thing we didn't mention was it would help a lot to disable simple file sharing. You can find that in the Tools folder options menu of Windows Explorer, and I believe it's in the View section where you can point out where you can view hidden files, view system folders, view file extensions. But if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of that list, there's something there called simple file sharing. You need to disable that because you'll need to take ownership of your Outlook folder in order to share it effectively through XP. So there's that. I'm glad we were able to follow up on that. Yeah, thank you very much. So let's see. What do we want to talk about now?
Well, wait a minute.
What is the phone number here?
216-578-1300. Give us a call, and we will assist you or at least engage you in some kind of conversation.
On the subject of email, we talked about a couple of open source programs over the last two nightly talk sessions, both Mozilla Thunderbird and Mozilla Firefox. And one of the questions during the week was, are these advanced user programs? Are these something that the average Joe can put on his computer and get going with? And I just want to say that absolutely. A friend of mine's wife actually was experiencing trouble in Outlook Express, and they migrated to Thunderbird with no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, it's as simple as a download and install these days. You're not building any software or anything complicated like that?
No, especially not for... I mean, you can. That's what open source is all about. You have the option if you want to get down and dirty and, you know, dig into the nuts and bolts of things.
But
for a Windows user, if you're using XP at home or something like that, just hop on the bandwagon, take advantage of some better security settings, some less automatic Windows integration that'll get you exposed to those spyware and malware and all sorts of other fun viruses and stuff that circle around nowadays.
What do you have to do to change over from like Outlook Express or Outlook to Thunderbird?
When you during the installation, you'll see a standard wizard that'll ask you basically, do you want to migrate your settings from Outlook Express? And you say, yes.
Oh, I don't know if I can handle that.
You know, or if we really need to get you on some of this open source stuff here.
Oh, boy, I don't know.
Is that going to pull over all your contacts,
all your contacts, your address book, and your messages?
Like, what about the...
Beautiful.
What about the email account settings?
I'm pretty sure that came through, too. All of it, 100%.
Because one of the things that has always bothered me about, like, Outlook in particular is that, you know, everything's stored in the PST file. Your mail, your contacts, your tasks, but not your mail account settings.
It is kind of crazy, isn't it?
But you're saying that Thunderbird will pull those
It'll grab
over
everything.
Also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, those in all likelihood, those all live up in registry settings for it to, you know, Firefox knows where they are.
Okay.
Just go get them.
Thunderbird.
Or Thunderbird, yeah.
Okay, well, fine.
We need to get both of you using this.
I guess according to... I guess according to Matt, go out and get Mozilla Thunderbird and get off the Microsoft train. I'm not entirely convinced, but seems okay to me.
I use it every day.
Yeah. I mean,
rock solid.
For those applications where you're just out there interacting with the internet, there's no reason not to. You're lowering your vulnerability, and it's easy now. It used to be hard, admittedly.
And, we saw them in some of the major national magazines and getting some... press time that way. They're creeping up market share on Internet Explorer, the grand Microsoft.
I saw that on Slashdot.
Yeah.
And then the other things you're most worried about are your office type applications where you're interacting with people in your workplace or, you know, your grandmother send her Word file, whatever. And those are, as you said before, easy to import, easy to export into other formats now.
Fine. And
speaking of which, the Mac users are not without recourse nowadays, too. I saw a post on NeoOffice the other day, which is a open office suite type application for Macintosh OS X.
And speaking of Macintoshes, sneaking into the studio just under the wire is Doug. And Doug, say hi to the people.
Yeah, I'm really sorry I'm late.
It's okay.
You should be.
It's okay. here's the thing. Doug apparently has taken a little bit of umbrage to the term Senor Crapple. In fact, I had one listener who says he won't listen until The term Crapple is no longer used because he is an Apple devotee. And
well, I think we're all becoming converts nowadays. I mean, the Mac Mini is still turning on people all over the world. It's
and
it is hot.
You know, and I should say that I am not just going to comment on just the Macintosh itself. I'd like to talk about all Apple products. If you have a question about your iPod.
Oh, that's right.
Or if your new iPod Shuffle.
If you have problems with your iLife.
If you have any interest in your new iLife, which I just picked up, and it's fantastic.
Man, my eLife is just lacking.
iLife?
iLife. iLife is a suite of products mainly aimed at the young family to integrate everything involved with their young, beautiful, you know, urban...
Wait, what are you talking about?
Are you going to suburbia here or what?
It's a digital lifestyle.
He says
nubile. Digital lifestyle.
Your digital lifestyle. You want to, you know, import a song and take a picture of your kid and maybe a mini movie. And then, you know, take that song from one application to the next, or maybe mix your own little song with a new drum beat with GarageBand. And then, you know, turn that song into an MPEG.
I got to say, this sounds like a lot of work.
No.
It's an Apple. It's never worked with
it. What if you don't have any kids?
If you don't have any kids, those are actually the people most likely to use
Macintosh
this software.
Macintosh iKids.
Okay. Macintosh
iKids. Very reasonably priced.
Can we just get some kids? Some iKids.
You could take a video of you and your wife. I mean, you know.
All right. Well, look, we've got a caller. We've got a caller on line one. Let's talk to Dory on line. Dory, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, anyone who knows me knows who Dory is, I'm afraid. You couldn't have used a fake name or something?
Well, I just thought you guys would be missing Yoko.
Oh, that's true.
We are missing Yoko.
This is Yoko the architect. She is not here, unfortunately. She is stuck in Messina, New York. For anyone who knows where that is, it's about an hour southwest of Montreal.
Isn't that where that Walmart is?
Shh. We're not talking about why she is in Messina. She's just there. How are you doing, Dory?
I'm doing fine, and I've got a question for the dorks.
All right, bring it.
Now you guys are having a nice talk about apples, and I'll let you get to that. But it's been minus 20 below here where I've been working, and it makes me wonder, at what point will that damage my digital camera, my cell phone, my computer? Is there any particular temperature where these things will just get condensation on them so bad that they'll never function right again? If I were to bring them right back inside, I mean, is it no big deal?
No, it is a deal. I can't quote the manufacturer's handbook on what the operating temperature range for your laptop is, but anything below freezing for any length of time will... lower the temperature enough inside your laptop that when you take it into a warmer environment, the water and moisture in the air will condense inside that thing and you run a risk. I've left my laptop outside at probably temperatures down to maybe 20 above zero without too much risk, but 20 below is a little extreme.
Yeah, in fact, I'm familiar with official corporate policies that actually... say you cannot leave your laptop in your car, you know, whether it's in the summer or the winter. I mean, yes, for security purposes, but you can't leave it in your car because it can get damaged. And laptops are just fragile as it is. Now, I will say about the cell phones, I have left my cell phone outside in extremely cold temperatures, and it has worked fine. However, you'll notice that the LCD tends to respond incredibly slowly when it's really, really cold. So,
and you know why that is.
Now, why don't you tell us?
Well, you know, the LCD on your screen, you know, it works as like little plates. And if it's a two-color screen, those plates turn depending on the electricity
color
that goes through it.
Okay.
So the colder it is, the slower the response time, because those little plates are actually turning slower.
Wait a second. I just wanted to clarify my question, and then I'll have to take the answer off the air because I got to get back to work.
Oh, okay.
But the condensation, when you bring it back inside, can that short stuff out? Or I mean, I've heard people just say it'll dry out just fine.
Laptops are pretty resilient in that manner. I mean, people have been spilling coffee on their laptops for a long time, and I think the manufacturers have at least taken steps along those routes. Let it get up to room temperature a little bit, turn the sucker on, and go.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's the big deal. The reason there's condensation is because your laptop's freaking cold, and that just pulls the water out of the air. Once your laptop's back to room temperature, it'll go right back into the air.
Okay, okay, and then my last comment is, don't worry, sweetie, I didn't leave your laptop in the car.
Oh, okay. Yes, Dory has my laptop, and it apparently still works.
She may be calling.
Oh, she may. She, don't worry, your laptop's fine. It's not in the car anymore.
Everything's just fine.
Yes, right, please, bye-bye. Please don't microwave it to bring it up to temperature. All right, thanks for calling, sweetie.
That'd be a great experiment.
All right,
though.
We'll try. So anyway, it's really a good idea to try to bring your laptop indoors with you. Don't leave it in the car. Don't leave it in the trunk. There are so many things that can happen to it when you leave it in the car, the trunk. It can suffer all kinds of percussive difficulties. It can get rattled around, moved around. It can fall over. It can suffer heat. It could be stolen. It could suffer extreme heat. It could suffer extreme cold. All the kinds of things that laptops, they might withstand, but they probably won't. And, yeah, you don't want to leave it sitting in your backseat, obviously, because you may not have a laptop or a window when you get back. I mean, I left my cell phone on the dashboard of my car, and I didn't have a window or a cell phone when I got back. So a laptop has got to be even more enticing. But
you ever left your CDs on the dashboard on a hot summer day?
I can't say that I have.
It's a bad idea.
Okay,
a song by Cat Stevens?
Might be.
I think it's Meatloaf.
We'd have to call, England to find out, though.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, so that takes care of that, I think. We're going to... Anthony on line one. Anthony on line one has a question about an iPod, which is right up Doug's alley. Anthony, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, here's my question. I'm considering an iPod, but I'm not entirely sure I want to burn all my CDs in the specific iTunes format. I wonder what my options are for how to convert all my CDs so I can maybe use them on an iPod or a similar device without being proprietary.
Well, you don't have to use Macintosh format. There's a setting right in iTunes that lets you rip it into MP3. It just, Macintosh's format, it's better sound quality. It's exactly like CD sound quality, and it actually takes up less space. Well, MP3...
iMusic.
The MP3, you're going to get a little bit of background garbly noise. It sounds sort of like water running if you don't rip it. It's true, and it takes up more space. But, no, you can rip it as an MP3.
Now, if I want to share the list with... other people in the house, or is that possible, or is iTunes just going to be just for me, and then if somebody else wants that list, they're going to have to reburn the same CD?
You go to options and you say share list. You can share your library with up to 5 people with iTunes.
Do they have to be registered iTunes users or something?
No. If you just have one and you're on the same network and you can reach that machine, it'll automatically pull the playlist, and it does it between Windows and Apple.
That's awesome.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's the best thing. And on top of everything, if you've got a ton of CDs and you want to organize them, there's no better organizing tool than iTunes.
Oh, excellent. And is the iPod the premier player? Is I Know Creative maybe coming out with one to compete? Is it really any competition?
No. I mean, right now, nobody can compete with the iPod. And you're paying a lot extra money just for the browsing capabilities. The user interface for the iPod is heads and shoulders above everybody else. So you can use the other stuff if you just want to be able to get to the music and carry it with you. You can spend a lot less money and have a silver ugly thing that looks like a hard drive with a bad LCD screen. But if you're really looking for the best I carry all my music around me experience, you want to go with the iPod.
Now, there's a debate at work today that said once you put music on the iPod, you weren't allowed to delete it. Is that true?
Delete or get it off?
Or actually not take it off the playlist, but physically remove it from the iPod's hard drive.
No, you have two different options to get the music off of your iPod. You can say, I want to manually manage all of the music that's on my iPod, and you can manually drag everything over and drag things off. It's no big deal. Or you can say, I want to do an auto-sync. And if you do an auto-sync, that means as soon as you sync your computer with your iPod, the entire set of music will automatically be synced with what's on the iPod. But next to every song in iTunes, there's a checkbox. And if you uncheck the checkbox by the song, it will not be auto-synced. So that's how you manage what's on the iPod and what's not.
Sweet. All right, thanks a lot for your questions, Anthony. And we're getting close to a break here. In fact, I can hear the dulcet tones of the Nerd Anthem in my cans. So we're going to move out to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we've got a call waiting for us on line two. So just hang on there, buddy, and we'll get to you. And we'll be right back. Thanks.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's K-O-M-M Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
WERE 1300 AM Radio. Every afternoon, you can enjoy the music and the entertainers who play and sing the songs you relate to. The songs to bring back special times of your life. We call it simply Your Songs. Brought to you by the original mattress factory location nearest you.
Your Songs, Monday through Friday, 1 to 5 p.m., only on AM 1300 WERE.
When Tova said she had a mental health problem, I was a little surprised. Sure, she seemed to be going through a lot at school, but nothing that didn't seem normal.
Mental health problems are surprisingly common. They affect nearly every family in the United States.
I mean, look at her. She's been on the basketball team since seventh grade, and when she graduated, she was named Scholar Athlete of the Year.
Most people with mental health problems recover. They can excel at school, grow up to raise families, get jobs, and play important roles in our communities and in our lives.
I guess Tova really taught me something.
Get the facts about mental health. Call 1-800-789-2647 for a free brochure. That's 1-800-789-2647.
Mental health is part of all our lives.
A public service of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ohio Department of Mental Health, and this radio station.
At the Rolaid Soft Chew Challenge, Dave's comparing new Rolaid Soft Chews to Tums EX. Dave says Tums aren't appealing to his refined palate.
Yuck.
Next, Rolaid Soft Chews. Dave says they're chewy, not chalky.
Mm-hmm.
Then he discovers new Rolaids neutralize 56% more acid than Tums EX. Dave says he's speechless. Take the extra strength Rolaid Soft Chews Challenge in vanilla cream or wild cherry.
Yummy.
Use as directed based on lab tests.
Safety belts, home insurance, metal detectors. It's all about peace of mind. If you invest, you have the Securities Investor Protection Corporation. If your brokerage firm fails, SIPC.org. It's there for you.
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz or a dork or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial a Dork.
And we're back.
We're back on the air. That's right, 578-1300. You can give us a call. That's area code 216. You can also email us at dorks@dialadork.com, and that's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. And real quick, I just want to mention that we want to thank VisionNet, our preferred ISP. VisionNet provides network consulting, website development, web hosting, internet connectivity, and VoIP services. Call 1-800-645-9351 or email them at sales@visionnet, VISN.net. And they're local. You don't have to send your money out of Cleveland. You can call VisionNet. And, hey, you know what? If you'd like to advertise on this show or sponsor something or just, you know, give us some money, just contact the Comm Group, K-O-M-M Group, and you can email any of us at the Comm Group. You can actually, it's a catch-all, right, Russ?
Yes.
They can do it. They can. Why don't you email us
minute.
At...
You shouldn't say that.
I shouldn't say that.
You should not say that.
I'm sorry. I didn't... I take
you
it
did
back.
Not
can
say
we
that.
Can we just...
We'll
edit
that
out. We'll edit that out.
Where's the delay?
I'm sorry. You're right. Can we just dump that? Seriously, we have advertising rates as low as $30. So if you ever wanted to get the power of radio behind your organization, call the Comm Group. Go to www.commgroup.com, and that'll help.
Wait a minute. I have a fabulous idea.
What is it?
You know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and, you know, if geeks, nerds, dorks, whatever, want to, you know, send a shout-out, maybe we could do something like that.
Oh,
are you
my
telling them
God.
To propose to, your, to their soon-to-be wife on our show? That's what they should
have
do.
Have you thought about
well,
our audience?
Doug, are you trying to say something
and
over there,
dating?
Buddy?
yes, for as low as $30, you can propose to your, we'll just say your significant other.
Yeah, I mean, instead of going to the, like, Alien vs. Predator DVD release party and proposing to her there, do it on our show.
Yeah,
it's classic.
Much,
oh, right.
much classier.
That's right.
All right, well, let's see if they're paying attention in the booth. We have a call on line two. Dom is on line two. Dom, are you there?
Hey, I am here, dorks.
Thanks for hanging on.
All right, Dom, what do you got for us?
I'm looking for an application that will let me use my cell phone as a modem on a laptop.
Russ.
How interesting.
Yeah, that is fascinating. Well, you know, I don't let this get out, but right now I am surfing the internet via my cell phone. I have a digital service, and it's very simple. You buy a cord on eBay, a couple different manufacturers sell them, $15. USB cord plugs into your laptop. Then it comes down to your service. It's not in any plans to do official. That a lot of the plans will sell an actual PCMCIA card. You put in your laptop. They charge you $70 a month, and you use that. And the service is great. You get about, you know, you get well over normal dial-up speeds, well over early ISDN speeds. It's like 230 kilobits per second. It's very nice. However, if you happen to have the right plan, the right cell phone, and you surf around the internet, if you can surf your surf the web from your phone, you can do it from your laptop plugged into your phone.
What do you think about that, Don?
That's what I need to do, but what's the application that'll connect the USB port?
The most important thing is to download the drivers, which are actually well available out there to use it as a modem.
The actual USB cable, I think, has drivers.
If you get it from a reputable company, it'll come with drivers. They do vary in quality, so you want to research that a little bit out there, what your particular phone model is, because there's a lot of them.
Do you need phone drivers, too?
On the phone, no. The phone is what it is.
Okay.
The other thing you could do, which I don't recommend because it's way too silly, is you can do it through your infrared port. You know, if your phone has an infrared port, you can actually make a connection that way. But, man, that's way too goofy.
Well, and yeah,
that infrared
and
all
you
got to
make sure your infrared port doesn't have like a sleep or a timeout. Yeah, Bluetooth too, I think, is possible also. We can make sure those things don't have a timeout. I know on my cell phone, my infrared will turn off after about, well, I don't know, 3 to 5 minutes if it's idle. So make sure you want to disable that somehow, because you might want to plug your phone in while you're doing that.
So yeah, if you get it hooked up, it is the sweetest thing in the world to send email from the highway if you're a good solid dork. It's fun. It's a lot more dangerous than talking on your cell phone.
Russ,
too.
Russ, are you using yours like a dial-up? You're just using your cell phone like a dial-up service, or
I mean, are you using dial-up networking in Windows, or are you using a specific application? I think that's what Don is wondering.
Is your computer dialing your cell phone, or do
computer,
you dial with your cell phone first?
My phone looks like a modem to the computer.
Okay.
I dial a specific number. It's not a phone number. It's basically the same access number that your cell phone uses to get on the web.
Uh-huh.
In
how
Sprint's
did you find
case,
that number?
It's #777. It's out there on the web.
So you're using Microsoft dial-up networking right now, like the actual built-in dial-up networking functionality?
And you have your
cell phone as the modem.
It is a connection, just like you would set up a normal dial-up connection.
Well, Don, it looks like the secret is get the right cable, and then you have to figure out how to take advantage of your phone's ability to connect. And it's just use regular dial-up networking, it looks like.
Yep, absolutely.
All right?
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, you bet.
Hey, Russ, you might want to mention who made your cable. You know, give them
You know,
to Google
I got mine
for.
Off eBay, and it was pretty generic. There's a lot out there. You know, there's a lot of these sites out there, and they're of marginal legality, places that'll teach you how to hack your TiVo, hack your cell phone, all those kind of things. You really got to dig in there. It takes work to find some of this info.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to hack your TiVo or your Dish Network DVR or something like that, be prepared for the consequence that you're probably violating your warranty.
If you're doing hardware.
Among other things, but you're probably violating your warranty. So if you do an actual hardware hack, like if you want to drop in a 200-gig hard drive into your DVR and pop out the 40-gig hard drive like the one I have, if you wanted to do that, you got to open the box. That's violating the warranty. If you fry something or whatever, you're going to be out, hundreds of dollars for a new unit. Right. Or, of course, sign up with a different service and get it all
cases,
for free.
In the case of the phone specifically, you're violating your usage policy.
Terms of service.
Because they don't specifically allow it. They don't really specifically crack down on people yet. If a lot of people are doing it, we might see a problem. So
Russ is never surfing again.
Yes, never ever again. This would be a terrible thing to do. I would never endorse such behavior.
You're totally hosed. We've got an email question. Russ, you have that in front of you by any chance?
I do. I happen to have internet access here. And it comes from Marcy. And Marcy's asking if Shutterfly might be the best service to use for digital pictures.
And that is when she says for digital pictures, she means as opposed to taking it down to the Walgreens or something and having them read your media, which they can do, you can upload your pictures to the Shutterfly.com website. They have a little application, actually, that they will install on your computer, and you upload the pictures. You can manipulate them at their website, turn horizontal pictures, rotate them so they're vertical or vice versa. And let's see, you can do like little red eye reduction, all kinds of goofy stuff. And actually, the prints aren't bad. I mean, if you start with decent,
So what happens? They mail you prints?
You actually just pick out the ones you want to buy. Checkbox, whatever, and you pay for it online. In about 3 or 4 days, you get a nice big fat envelope full of pictures. And I think it's the same thing on Snapfish.
Yeah, that's what I'm more familiar with. I haven't used it as from the first-person user experience, but they're also very good for sharing with your friends.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can, on Shutterfly, you can create an album, and then you can actually share that album with, you enter a whole bunch of email addresses, share them out with your friends. They get an email with a link, they can go right to it and view the album. It's pretty
and
cool.
They
and the
too
pictures
can then
look
order
good.
Pictures. It really works really well. I know a lot of wedding sites are doing that these days.
It's like a quarter. It might be like a quarter a picture. I don't know if that's good or not. I don't know how. I haven't developed pictures at the drugstore in a long time, so I have no idea if that's a good price or not. But it's about a quarter a picture.
Those pictures you take would be illegal too.
Oh, that's yeah. Well. I don't know if I got a feeling Shutterfly's looking at him also, but I don't know. But I mean, I think Shutterfly and Snapfish are probably interchangeable in terms of the functionality and the price and everything else. It works great. I mean, I did a lot of that with my wedding and honeymoon pictures and stuff, and it was terrific.
Good quality pictures. Nothing too bad.
Now, of course, we're gonna turn to Doug and find out just how the Apple Computer Company is competing with Snapfish and Shutterfly. Are they, Doug?
I don't know how well they're competing because I don't think people have actually used the service too much. But they have a fat client application, a physical executable that comes with the iLife package called iPhoto, and it's the best photo organizing thing in the whole universe as well.
What a surprise!
Yeah. So the real cool thing is you can organize your photos the same way you're organizing your music in iTunes. Imagine you're making playlists, but with photos. It's that kind of idea. And the great thing is, if you make a playlist with photos, you can hit a button and they will send you back a hardbound book where the pictures are actually printed on pages. So you actually have a hardbound book, but it's so expensive. I've done it once and it was like $75 for like 15 pages of Halloween pictures.
that's a bad investment.
Wait, that's a great coffee table
but
book.
Why not?
They do single pictures now too, but it's much more expensive.
I mean, can you just get like a regular photo on photo paper? Or do you have to get your hardbound edition?
No, you can buy single photos, but it's like $1.45 per photo. It's too expensive.
But it's like great. Most things.
But if you're just Apple stuff, right?
If you're just organizing digital photos on your machine, I'd recommend it. If you're actually looking for a way to have somebody, send you printed photos in the mail, do something else.
All right. So, Shutterfly and Snapfish are—they're both pretty good.
They're good options. I don't think anyone's really cornered the market yet. They're still out there fighting for it. So, There will be a winner.
And, you know, actually in reverse, I'm told that you can take your actual roll film to the drugstore and you can get a CD. You can get those photos digitized along with prints of them. You can get a CD of them too. And then you can upload them from the CD to Shutterfly or Snapfish and deal with it that way. In fact, the amazing thing about Shutterfly is that I've had photos stashed on there for like 2 years now. And they haven't gone anywhere. I've got like 1,000 photos up there, and they're still there, and I can share them with anybody I want, and I can get prints of them, and it's pretty sweet. Okay, you're listening to Dial a Dork. The phone number is 216-578-1300. You can email us at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. There is a phone call on... on line one, John.
I can't even read this.
And it looks like he has a question in German.
All right, John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, John, what is your question?
Okay, I have a Smith Corona word processor. Uses what, the 3.5-inch disc?
Okay.
Oh,
okay. Want to be able to read those on my computer.
Wow.
When I put them on a computer, the information comes down, but it's all out of...
out
it's
of
just
whack.
Not in the right format.
Well, I mean, you can actually take the floppy and put it in. We're using a Windows PC,
you're right?
And you can actually it can actually read the file system and see the actual files on there.
Right.
Okay, so that's not an issue. The question is:
is getting the paragraphs and the sentences all in the right place?
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
So I imagine you're cracking those open, clicking on them, or dragging them in a notepad or something like that. When you say
what have you used so far to view them?
Well, I use the Smith Corona word processor. That's the only thing that's reading them.
No, I mean on your Windows machine. What programs have you used to view these files?
You know, I'm not sure. I just tried to download it.
Okay, I'd be curious to know if Smith Corona I assume they have a website. They're still in business, aren't they?
Oh, well, I doubt they're going to promote a replacement for them.
Well, but no, I mean, they might have a utility, or somebody may have built a utility to interpret those files.
Well, I mean,
properly.
Quite frankly, it could be something as simple as like a PostScript. There's or an encapsulated
probably
PostScript.
Probably not a lot of markup in there, to be honest. Well,
that's what I'm thinking too.
It could be straight text.
Well, it's got to be simply the program.
What is it? Can you give us an example of what it looks like? I mean, is it? Can you see your writing, and is it surrounded by a lot of gobbledygook characters?
Well, they have a sentence that would say, "The cat chased the dog." Okay, an example. It might all be there, but the caps wouldn't be there, and it would just run right into the next sentence.
Okay.
So it's missing some formatting.
Yeah.
Well, it could also depend on what he's viewing it on. Because if you view it in Notepad, he's not going to get the carriage returns. But if you view it in an application like TextPad, it'll see the line feed carriage return.
That's possible.
So
too.
It'll actually do your line formatting for you.
Give us an example of what the file name would be.
Like the extension? Is it .txt? Is it .12f?
Lord, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, do you have the capability of emailing one of those files to us?
No, I don't.
Do you know somebody who might be able to do that for you? Because we would be more than happy.
I'd be very curious, actually. This would
be great.
Yeah, if you maybe take that, make a new file. Don't use your work stuff.
Yeah, don't use your... Yeah.
Write a sentence with an example formatting of everything.
Yeah,
write a couple of paragraphs of gibberish
quick
brown fox jumped over the lazy dog, and do some various little formatting things.
Yeah.
And, do that on your Smith Corona, and then email that to dorks@dialadork.com. And, hey, we'll take a look at it, and, it might be a fun one, and it might be a fun one for our audience to try to mess with.
I'm not the only one that's running into this problem.
No, I'm sure you're not, and that's another...
I was typing this, especially the way I type, and you don't want to just lose it all.
Absolutely. No, of course not.
And the machine's pretty far gone by now, you know.
It's got to be a few years old.
But yeah. I got to say, you definitely got to hunt around on Google. Somebody... An enthusiast may have written a conversion program. Russ, you got something?
I mean, I think that's hopeful, and it's worth looking for. And if you get someone who's got a good head for the search engine, that's cool. But for the most part, the best you're going to hope for any of these, you know, old archives is just to get the text out of it. If you're not worried too much about formatting, you can almost certainly move it
well,
on.
I can pull it without being in format, but that's the whole thing. It's not formatted properly.
How long are these documents? They're long?
Well, I have 125-page piece.
Yeah, well, that doesn't sound like a lot.
You don't want to start retyping.
Certainly not.
Something I'd like to keep.
I wouldn't put the probability too low that we won't be able to get this formatted either. I mean, these early typewriters were not doing a ton of high-level formatting like you'd see on a website.
It's got
to
be.
There's got to be a way for us to get this in there somewhere.
John, you got to email one of these files to us. We're dying to see this.
Well, can I do it for in another show?
Absolutely. Anytime you want. And if
we'll
we
talk about it next week.
If we crack it, we'll talk about it next week, I assure you.
Okay. I'd appreciate it because I'd like to get rid of the thing.
I don't blame you. So look, we're right up against it, so we really appreciate your call, and email that to us. You can go to our website to get our email address to www.dialadork.com, and that's hyphenated, okay? All right, cool. All right, we gotta cut away. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Hi, this is Jack Perkins, host of Biography on A&E, with some good news for my old hometown, Greater Cleveland. Now, every Monday through Friday at 6:55 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., I'll be your host for Biography for Radio here on WERE 1300 a.m. Biography for Radio delivers life stories of the people you thought you knew. Hope you'll join us each weekday at 6:55 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for Biography for Radio here on People Power, WERE 1300 a.m., Cleveland.
Hello. This is Garcelle Beauvais Nylon. You may know me from NYPD Blue and the Jamie Foxx Show. Everyone wants respect, but it can be hard when you're dealing with something people don't understand, like epilepsy, also called seizure disorders. Epilepsy affects 2.5 million Americans, including teens and children. Epilepsy is a medical condition. It's not contagious, and it can be treated. In fact, most people with epilepsy work, attend school, and have loving relationships and live full and active lives just like you. They must deal with their seizures and the reactions of people around them, but they don't want to be labeled by their seizures. People with epilepsy want to live their lives just like we all do. And just like us, they deserve respect. To learn more, visit epilepsyfoundation.org or call 1-800-332-1000. 1-800-332-1000.
Blitzfire, flashing the big picture with Diane Hody Bliss.
Hey, we burn the opposition, we fry the spinmeisters, and we scorch the flaming liberals.
It's hot. It's explosive. It's wild. Jump into the fire. Blitzfire, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m., right here on AM 1300 WERE. Blitzfire.
My mommy has multiple sclerosis.
If you think it's hard to say, imagine living with the debilitating effects of multiple sclerosis. We're the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Call 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that is incredible, you guys.
We have a little bit of notice for John. I hope he's listening.
Yeah, John, if you're still listening. Russ, what have you got there?
Well, I dug up here on that interweb that Smith Corona Personal Word Processors, PWP, gives the extension PWP to the files, and some guy out here actually has the complete specification for how those are written, which is what some, you know, nerdy developer guy like Doug might use to convert it into another format. So a little bit more digging, and we might have something. So get us a file there, John.
Yeah, that's, you got to email us a file, because I think we're on the verge of cracking this thing. We're gonna do it, baby. All right, now look, we got a serious issue here in the recording studio. Okay, somebody just who started this?
It was Doug.
It was Doug.
It's all his fault.
Doug wanted to know who we thought the best nerd band of all time is.
And please call in if you have an opinion.
Yeah, that's true. Call or email if you have an opinion. Okay. Here's 216-578-1300.
Good job,
bro. Thank you. And here's the thing. We're not really so much arguing over taste right now, but I just declared Rush was the greatest nerd band of all time.
I cannot even.
And everybody's
that.
What do you mean?
Who are you?
Of course they're nerds.
Where did you
nerds.
Come from?
Let's not start from like the outliers and work.
Oh no, wait
let's
a minute.
Start from the in and work.
Wait a minute. We're not actually gonna you know, classify one band as a dork band and another band as a nerd band. No,
but there are subtle differences.
There might be, but let's just say under the Dial a Dork umbrella, who is the best, you know, dork, geek, / nerd band, and I'm telling you, it's Rush. I mean, have you been to one of their concerts?
Right, hold
have
on,
you
hold
seen?
On, hold on.
Have
Forget
you seen
the
their demographic?
Have you been to their fans'
I've been
basements?
There.
No, that's where they live, man.
Their mom's basements, yes.
They rock hard. They're not a nerd band.
Well, let's go around. All
what
right.
Do you, but what does that have to do with anything, whether they rock hard or not?
Justify yourself.
First of all, half their music and the first half of their career was about Lord of the Rings.
You're thinking of Led
Zeppelin.
You can say that about
Rivendell.
Led Zeppelin. I mean, come on.
Is Zeppelin a nerd band?
Well, I would like to point out Matt was wearing Metallica last week, the anti-nerd band.
That's true. Matt was wearing a Metallica shirt last week.
Terrible. Terrible wow. anti-MP3
I'm
band.
I'm rocking the Misfits this week.
Hey, you know, the 80s, man.
Yeah, that's probably pretty good. Well, here's what I'm saying. I mean, yes, okay, you're right. Like Misty Mountain Hop, okay? And Zeppelin had songs. But the way they did it, it was almost like they were the first ones.
What?
They were the first ones, weren't they?
We're not asking that. I mean, it's
Stick
like saying George, you know, George Washington was the first president, but Bush is the best president.
Whoa, where did that come from?
I think a lot of people might agree with you, actually.
I'm kidding. All right.
So what I'm saying is that I, and this really could turn into my group gripe for the day, is that there's no question that Rush is a nerd band.
They might be giants.
Okay, you're right.
They Might Be Giants has a song about James K. Polk.
That's pretty nerdy.
You know what? I got to tell you.
They have a song about the sun is a massive incandescent gas.
A gigantic nuclear furnace.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's nerdy.
No, wait a minute. I actually.
And factual.
Let me just say this. I read somewhere, or maybe I heard this on NPR or something like that. James K. Polk is quite possibly the most underrated U.S. president of all time.
Only ran once because he didn't want to run again because his sideburns were too big. Look it up.
Okay, well, how do you explain Chester Alan Arthur?
I can't.
Or was it Grover Cleveland?
No.
I don't know.
I think we're totally
No, here's look. Just saying that James K. Polk was the man. Apparently, I don't know. All right. So who is the greatest nerd band of all time? I mean, I'm telling you, it's Rush. You guys want to go with They Might Be Giants? Yeah. Go
maybe
for
Devo.
It.
Well, wait a minute. Does it have
Devo.
To be a band?
Devo.
Could it be
Devo.
Just
That's
an
huge.
Individual?
Well, okay, musical.
How about the
act.
Guy who did Rocket?
Herbie Hancock.
He's a jazz respected artist.
I don't even know.
Oh, he's
just creepy.
We need to define our terms. I think to be a really great nerd band, nobody else can really like you, and Rush is liked by too many people who aren't really nerds.
Well, I don't know about that.
So are we,
you got to be on the outside. What about Weezer? Weezer's a good nerd.
Weezer.
That's a good point.
Mm. Weezer sings about sitting in their basement and playing, you know, Dungeon Master. They actually have songs?
Right, and Kiss posters and stuff. Hey, Kiss might be a good nerd band.
Anybody who respects the comic
great Kiss, costumes. Really? Kiss?
Well, they dressed up like cool monsters, you know?
Yeah.
But at the time, you got to take it in context. I mean, at the time.
How can you take Kiss out of context?
Well, did you ever see the videos they made when they took the makeup off?
Wait a minute.
That's out of
truly
context.
Awful.
What about Kiss Meets the Phantom?
Oh, the Phantom of the Park.
Of the Park, yes.
Oh, man. What?
Amusement Park movie with Kiss in it.
Heck are you talking
about? Oh, man.
You talking about Xanadu? Somebody totally different.
I'm sticking with Rush.
Okay. And Irv runs the show. Rush wins.
Rush wins. All right. So, all right. Now what the heck? All right. And I got one other complaint that I'd like to make since we're not on the topic. I'd like to go on the record and say that having watched it now about, 25, 30 times since they've been all over HBO and Cinemax, The Matrix was actually kind of a dumb movie.
Oh, no.
Which one?
That's obscene.
All of them.
The 2 and 3 I can buy into. 1 was a very entertaining movie. It's not deep.
Well, here's my problem, okay? How in the world does the quote-unquote the mind make it real?
What are you talking about?
When he gets punched in the face in The Matrix, how in the world is he out in the physical world and his lip starts bleeding?
I would call that literary effect. That's not really literal.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're sleeping and you're walking downstairs in your dream, don't you ever move
your
legs?
Wake up with a broken nose?
Yeah, but how's your lip going to... I mean, you got punched. You didn't get punched in real life. You're moving your legs when you're sleepwalking.
We have 2 email votes for They Might Be Giants.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right.
That works. I can't believe you people. Where are the Rush fans? You know, I mean, there's a ton of Rush fans in Cleveland. They got their start on
just not dorky
on
enough.
A local station.
They'd be listening to
they're dorky.
AM radio at
just not dorky
9
enough.
PM on Monday.
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm hurting inside.
Yeah, you keep singing it. Maybe they'll come.
That's okay. All right.
Fast fine. Irv,
you watch too much TV.
So I take it you guys don't agree about the Matrix.
The first one was good. I mean,
they got a little
the
over
girl
the top,
jumping but. Up in the air with her legs about to kick that guy and then spinning around. That's like, where's the beef for, you know, the 2000s? You know, it's been used
icon,
by everybody
emblematic,
else.
Emblematic, anthemic.
Symbolic.
Symbolic, just... Well, look, by the way. I was blown away pretty much just like everybody else when I first saw it. But I'm just saying upon further review, it hasn't gotten better.
You know what?
With more viewings, unlike other, I think, really
classic movies.
That
year there were 3 movies that were that kind of existential what's reality. It was Existenz by David Cronenberg, The Matrix.
What?
And there was a movie called 13th Floor as well.
They were all exactly the same
theme, which is reality isn't real. The Matrix was by far and away the most exciting shoot 'em up of them. Existenz was way more thoughtful. And, you know, there was a little more character and whatnot in 13th Floor.
I think I remember, I don't think I saw it, but I think I actually saw commercials for 13th Floor.
Yeah, so if you really want, like, the hardcore, the themes of what is reality, what is existence, Existenz, go there.
And you want to spell that for the idiots like me?
Existenz, I believe.
ENZ.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if it doesn't end in a Z, I don't want to see it.
It does, so you're in luck.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is that the mind does not make it real. Okay. Hey, you know what? By the way, I think that Zion and everything else was inside the Matrix.
Well, what level does the Matrix stop being? How can there be a bottom floor of reality? There's turtles on top of turtles, man.
No.
Man,
I don't want to hear about turtle sex. I'm talking about...
not the sex.
You can talk to a turtle just by flipping it around. Like, hey, buddy.
I don't know what that means.
Just flip it around, and he knows what you mean.
Yeah, you can go to a pet land in Maple Heights, and you can see turtles.
That's good. All right.
For free.
That's right. Petland.
We have time for... No, we got nothing left.
New sponsor. All right, so let's see. We're getting up against it here. We're getting real close. We got about 30 seconds to go.
I got an email here, but we can't cover it now. So next week, look for us.
Okay, what is it? Give us a teaser.
I have a partitioned hard drive from my 95 machine. It's 5 gigs, 2 and 2. I want to put them back together.
No problem.
And not lose what's on there?
Well, you have to use partition magic to merge partitions, but
we can talk about this next week.
Oh,
okay,
right.
Let's talk about it.
But I think they're going to run into a partition problem with Windows 95. It's got to be...
It's FAT 16.
No, I think isn't it the max 2 gigs? FAT 16, the max is 2 gigs, I think.
That's why it was segmented
before.
It's
going to have to go to FAT 32, but he better be using...
That's okay, though.
Well, he's got to be using 95B. I think in order to recognize
he's got it on our new machine now. He's up to 98.
Well, he's up to 98?
That's why he wants on partition.
Oh, yeah. Partition Magic has the newer versions have an ability to merge partitions, but what it does is it will put everything on one partition into a folder on the other partition.
That, I'm sure that'll be fine. So we're out here, David. We'll finish this answer next
week. Yeah, we'll touch on that again because partition magic is just one of those, well, magical products that it certainly simplified my life as an IT professional, and it's truly a great piece of software. That's right up there with Ghost. Right up there with Ghost, I'd
Ghost
say.
Would be a valid option,
right,
for that
so,
one, too.
No, what? We don't have... We got a little... We got 10 more seconds.
Okay.
We got 10 more...
Keep stretching.
No, oh, we don't. All right. We're out, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night.